Hello, this is Beatrice Pavia with part one of the Pantograph of Friday, April 4th, 2025. We turn first to page one, where the main story is headlined, Poet Captures Life in Seasons. Central Illinois inspires Lexington man's creativity. This story is datelined Lexington. There is a road leading southwest out of Lexington that passes near Dammer and Angus Farm and crosses Route 66. It elicits a peculiar emotion from poet Nicholas Reinerson, and that feeling changes every day, he said. No matter when I'm going, it feels different. It feels different on an April morning versus a May afternoon, and it just like it changes so much, but it's like you can't really capture that. Reinerson recently released his first collection of poems, Seasons, A Year of Midwestern Life. Seasons contains over 150 poems with original artwork by Illinois-born artist Grace Mertens. It was published by Reinerson's Impeded Stream and Bolt Cutter Press. Just before the book's release, Reinerson invited the Pantograph to his Lexington bookstore, the Upstairs Bookshop, to talk about his creative process and his love for Bloomington Normal's northeastern neighbor. He stared through the second-story window out past the town to the plains beyond, blanketed under an overcast March sky as he spoke about capturing poetry. I say capture because I feel like the way I view poetry is very like Whitman, Wordsworth, Emerson, he said. I think the poems are already there, and I'm just sort of listening for it. After 3 years of listening, Reinerson was ready to publish his first collection of poems. The book is organized like the calendar, with four sections, one for each season, and 12 total chapters, one for each month, he said. I just had a lot of poetry that felt like a certain time and place here in Lexington. I love this area. I think this area is like it's underrated, Reinerson said, not bothering to hide his wide, bright grin. It's beautiful. It's a great place to live. Like, the people are kind, and there's just a lot of good stuff going on, but it's like it's really hard to capture, he said. Reinerson has a creative history. He currently works for State Farm on a team creating commercials. Several years ago, he was an insurance agent for State Farm, living in Bloomington Normal, and working his way up the ladder to have his own office and find a more traditional form of success, he said. But he felt unfulfilled, he said. It took a divorce, a new relationship, and a move to Lexington to find his creativity, Reinerson said. Before returning to State Farm in his new capacity, he was involved in marketing strategy and advertising, doing print, production design, website building, advertising campaigns, marketing, Facebook campaigns, so kind of everything. I did a little bit of all of it, he said. Unfortunately, that left very little energy for his own creative process, Reinerson said. Switching back to State Farm and working with a team to spread out the duties has been less draining, he said. I find when I come home, or when I'm done working, I've still got the energy and the mind to put toward my own projects, Reinerson said. And I'm like, I don't need to make a living off of this. I can just do the stuff I love. One of those projects is the Duncan Manor Review, a 39-page love letter to the historic Towanda House and nearby Lexington in the form of a magazine, also written by Reinerson and printed by Impeded Stream and Bolt Cutter Press. We have some clients, like Duncan Manor, that we keep that are just things that we love, he said, and I don't care how much they pay me, I just want to help them do what they're doing. The work he does now, surrounding himself with people and places that he loves, like Lexington, has helped Reinerson find a greater appreciation for life, he said. Immersing myself in a place and listening for it, in gardening, all those things coming together over the last 8 years have really made me more of an alive person, Reinerson said. Publishing something so close to the heart with so much emotional attachment can be a daunting task, but Reinerson would rather roll the dice and share his work than live with what might have been, he said. I want to put that out there, because if I don't, I will regret not doing it. So for me, the fear of regret is a lot bigger than the fear of failure. A limited run of 300 hard copies of Seasons is available in person at the Upstairs Bookshop at 322 West Main Street in Lexington. The store is open Wednesday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Seasons is also available online at impededstream.com or at tinural.com/impededstream. Our next front page story is about the economy, headlined Pritzker Touts Illinois Trade. Governor visits Mexico, calls for stable relations. This story is Dateline Springfield. As he wrapped up a four-day trade mission to Mexico, Governor J.B. Pritzker said he heard a consistent message from the country's business and political leaders. The U.S. federal government must reestablish stability and consistency in the U.S.-Mexico relationship. As a former business person, I get this, said Pritzker, speaking with reporters Wednesday via web conference from Mexico City. I understand what they're saying. You can't make decisions about where and when to invest until you have an idea of what the ground rules are. Steady, reliable leadership will help our respective nations, our respective businesses, and our peoples to flourish. Pritzker and a 70-person Illinois delegation traveled to Mexico with the mission of strengthening economic ties, especially in the agriculture, finance, and manufacturing sectors. The trip came during a time of turmoil in the U.S.-Mexican relationship, amid President Donald Trump's broader push to impose tariffs on allies and adversaries alike in a bid to boost domestic manufacturing and penalize countries for what he believes are unfair trade practices. In a social media post, Trump declared Wednesday, the day he planned to announce a new round of tariffs, as Liberation Day. Later that day, Trump announced the imposition of 10% tariffs on imports from all countries besides Canada and Mexico. He also slapped additional tariffs on dozens more countries that the administration has said treat the U.S. unfairly. Trump earlier this year announced blanket 25% tariffs against Canadian and Mexican imports, but delayed their effective date. Then, in early March, he again paused tariffs on goods covered under the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, but that is expected to be lifted. Trump has also imposed 25% tariffs on the imports of steel and aluminum. A 25% tariff on imported cars and car parts is expected to take effect this week. Pritzker, one of Trump's most pugnacious critics, has derided the tariffs as a tax on working families. They are not good for the economy, and these broad-based tariffs are very challenging and may lead, in fact, to a recession in the United States, Pritzker said. Here in Mexico, there is deep concern. Elaborating, Pritzker said the tariffs could destroy some businesses in Mexico that U.S. companies rely on, such as auto parts suppliers. So the uncertainty that we've heard over and over again in the discussions with our Mexican counterparts is going to lead to them pulling back on making investments and potentially pulling back on providing the supply items that our U.S. businesses need, Pritzker said. We couldn't allay those concerns, but what we could do was remind them that in Illinois, we are a stable and reliable trade partner, and that when things settle down, that it will do well for them to do business with our companies in Illinois, Pritzker continued. Pritzker, who has enacted policies aimed at attracting electric vehicle producers and parts suppliers, along with supporting efforts that have led to Stellantis announcing the reopening of its Belvidere plant, acknowledged that targeted tariffs can be useful to boost domestic production in certain industries. But he said they are not something that you impose across the board, citing the price increases that could result on consumer goods like cars. Pritzker added that the integrated supply chain between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico also makes tariffs nearly impossible to tally. And then there's always the specter of retaliatory tariffs on U.S.-made products. R.J. Scaringe, CEO of EV maker Rivian Automotive, told Bloomberg earlier this week that our production footprint may be different than what we were initially planning, depending on how the dust settles on the latest round of tariffs. The company currently produces all of its vehicles at its normal plant, which it is also expanding. I can tell you that the across-the-board taxes, the tariffs that Trump is intending to impose both on Canada and Mexico, whatever they end up being, is going to certainly have a massive negative impact on Ford, Pritzker said, referencing the auto giant's assembly plant on Chicago's south side. And for Stellantis, which is rebuilding and growing a plant in Belvedere, and for Rivian, which is already building cars in Normal, they will be less affected, he said. But I can guarantee you there are businesses in the United States that would like to see certain kinds of targeted tariffs, but this across-the-board nature of it is going to cost the average consumer. Illinois exports to Mexico totaled $13 billion in 2024, according to the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, making it the state's second-largest export market after Canada. The state imported more than $19 billion worth of products from Mexico, making it the state's third-largest import market after Canada and China. During this week's trip, the Illinois delegation heard from Mexican manufacturing companies who are key players in the energy supply chain that are interested in building production facilities in Illinois, Pritzker said. Pritzker also met with site selectors to talk up the state's workforce, supply of electricity, transportation and logistics assets, and its infrastructure. Before leaving Wednesday, he said he planned to sit down with Mexican financiers and venture capitalists about investing in the state's high-tech sector. It is part of my job as governor to be the chief marketing officer for Illinois and to pitch companies and investors on why Illinois is the best state in the U.S. to do business in, Pritzker said. During his time in office, Pritzker has focused on building out the state's previously sluggish economic development infrastructure. This Team Illinois approach has included a shift in focus within the state's economic development agencies to offer white-glove service to businesses looking to expand or relocate to Illinois. The state has also enacted a boosted menu of targeting incentives and tax credits to make it more competitive. Pritzker has been hands-on in the effort, perhaps more so than any governor since Jim Thompson, a Republican who served from 1977 to 1991. Pritzker said he has made international trade missions a central part of my economic mission, noting that he has led previous missions to Canada, Japan, and the United Kingdom. Pritzker said his administration will be working tirelessly in the coming months to track down every single lead and bring every dollar of potential investment for our communities that has resulted from this visit to Mexico. The governor and delegation of state officials and business leaders plan to return to Illinois on Wednesday. Some of those accompanying Pritzker on the trip were Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton, Illinois Department of Agriculture Director Jerry Costello, DCEO Director Kristen Richards, Deputy Governor Andy Menar, Intersect Illinois Chairman John Atkinson, and Intersect Illinois CEO Christy George, Illinois Manufacturers Association CEO Mark Densler, and Illinois Retail Merchants Association CEO Rob Carr. From Central Illinois, Federico Gorbea of Archer Daniels Midland Company, Kara Demirjian-Huss of TCCI Manufacturing Indicator, Nicole Bateman of the Economic Development Corporation of Decatur and Macon County, and Patrick Hoban of the Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council were part of the delegation. The cost of the trip to state taxpayers will not be known until delegation members fill out and submit their paperwork, said Pritzker spokesman Alex Gould. And our last front page story is headlined, Heartland's Chekhov Take, Ridiculous Fun. This story is datelined Norma. From the outside looking in, family dynamics can at times seem zany and absurd. When rivalries among siblings are bottled up alongside missed chances in life and love, moments of jealousy and vanity can flare up in zesty ways. Such situations are being explored this month in a new comedy at Heartland Theater. Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike hits the theater stage Friday at the Normal Community Activity Center, running 8 weekends through April 19. Performances start at 7:30 p.m. Friday and Saturday, 7:30 p.m. April 11th and 12th, 2 p.m. April 13th, 7:30 p.m. April 18th, and at 2 and 7:30 p.m. April 19th. The play is written by Christopher Durang, who won a 2013 Tony Award for Best Play for this work. The play features a cast of 6 and is set in 2012 in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Directing the Heartland Theater production is Len Childers of Bloomington, who noted, "The show holds a rural setting not far from bigger cities. The playwright actually lived in the place that he wrote about," Childers said. At the top of the play, audiences will see a man and a woman and hear them bicker over their morning coffee routines and life circumstances. The man is Vanya, who after many years of caring for their doddering parents with his sister, Sonia, likens his home life to being just two lumps on a log. Childer said as the play unfolds, a very eclectic house cleaner, Cassandra, comes into the scene, as well as a famous celebrity, Masha, accompanied by her boy toy, Spike. We see some ridiculous, absurd situations that they end up in. We learn some of the family history between them. There's a lot of regret. There's a lot of looking at the past. There's a lot of family dysfunction, the director said. Just watching the actors grow with the characters and develop these characters from these little seeds of ideas and creating these fully fleshed, interesting human beings, I think that has been the most enjoyable, he said. The director said the references and parallels to Anton Chekhov's playwriting are some of his favorite parts of the play. He said Chekhov plays tend to have bigger casts and are set in a family home with a variety of people. The characters typically complain about their lives while remarking on the beauty in the world. Mario Silva plays Vanya in Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike, and said the play centers women more than most works of theater. Masha's a star, Sonia's the one who gets forgotten, and Vanya's the peacemaker, he said. Silva also said his character feels like he has led a useless life and looks back feeling bitter. It's sort of an everyman's story, every woman's story, he said. He said when Masha arrives with her new lover, Spike, it sparks a lot of conflict. He keeps taking his clothes off, Silva said of Spike. An aspiring young actress named Nina also comes into the fold from the house next door. Masha is played by Kristen Monson, who in an interview said Chekhov is the father of realism. Around the turn of the century, she said Chekhov started writing about real people talking about their lives. That differs from melodramatic tropes of heroes and villains, Monson noted. This play is like this slice of life of this family mixed with absurd comedy on top of it, she said. Monson also said theater historians will love all the references to Chekhov. While the characters of Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike are named after Chekhov characters, thanks to their college professor parents, they are not necessarily based on them. Monson said her role gives her permission to act rich and famous, while adding she is none of those things in real life. It's making fun of that kind of celebrity, she said. I think the audience sees how unimportant all of that stuff that comes along with being a celebrity, being aware of what your image is, and having your boy toy, Spike, with you, and how ridiculous that is compared to the family that you should be having that connection with. Monson also said, it's great to be ridiculous. When asked why people should come, Silva said the show will make you think, it will make you cry, and it will make you laugh. There are some really nice, poignant moments, life moments. People will get some depth out of it, and they will also laugh a lot, Childer said. It's just a nice, enjoyable, entertaining evening of theater, he added. Monson said, it's so freaking funny. I think that people are just needing a laugh. There's no serious messages to hit you over the head, but it's just ridiculous fun. And tickets for the show at Normal Community Activity Center are $10 for students, $17 for military and seniors, $19 for general admissions. These tickets are available online at heartlandtheater.org. You can also make reservations by emailing the box office at heartlandtheater.org or calling 309-452-8709. This play is rated for mature audiences. We turn now to some local and state news. This story is headlined, Illinois Task Force Uncovers Nearly 400 Sites of the Underground Railroad. Dateline, Jacksonville. A group of historians, academics, and legislators spent the last year finding sites connected to the Underground Railroad in Illinois and focusing on telling the stories of those who helped as well as those seeking freedom. The work they did was a highlight of the Freedom Corridor Conference Saturday at Illinois College in Jacksonville, west of Springfield. During the year, more than 400 sites have been recorded by the task force. The Underground Railroad Task Force was established to help find the history of the Underground Railroad in Illinois, as well as help develop plans to help to better support the sites and those educating about the Underground Railroad and freedom seekers. Gerald McWhorter, vice president of the New Philadelphia Association Board, said the task force looked at several areas. The first aspect is the actual telling of the history, the experience of people escaping from slavery, the freedom seekers, McWhorter said. Now the task force is pushing legislation that would establish a commission to help provide resources, funding, and support for all sites and academics connected to the Underground Railroad in the state. Brittany Yancey, a professor of African American Studies at Illinois College, said there is a rich history across the state. The logo used for the Freedom Corridor conference last year was an outline of the state with stars representing the sites. There were 6 stars last year. Now there are close to 400. Our work is to make sure the histories and stories of these freedom seekers are being told, Yancey said. We know there are hidden histories in the state, and there are sites that might not be known. With changes being made to history curriculums and a push to change how history is taught, it is important for sites like those connected to the Underground Railroad and the history of slavery and freedom seeking to be preserved and told. McWhorter said several states that have a rich history related to the Underground Railroad already have commissions established. Those commissions help establish statewide networks to share information, help boost recognition of sites, and help create a more comprehensive history. Many small historical societies have history, but they don't have some needed resources, McWhorter said. A commission would bring people together in one network. Art Wilson, founder of the Jacksonville African American History Museum, said a commission like the one that is being proposed would benefit organizations across the state. The task force is a great chance for Jacksonville to grow, share how to develop programs, and make sites better, Wilson said. We have to support everyone, and it is vital, as every lifeline outside the state could be lost if the federal government cuts the funds. It'll all be on the state. Wilson said the commission would allow for more collaboration and exposure in the state. It'll have a bigger effect if we can be connected throughout the state, Wilson said. We can share information on grants, social media, publicizing events. It helps open doors and partnerships. Each site could feature other sites. It's a win-win. McWhorter said a lot of work has already been done, but it is not over yet. With this task force, the number of sites jumped from just a few up to more than 400 across the state, helping the task force see the routes that freedom seekers took as they headed to freedom. Illinois was the first state to ratify the constitutional amendment to abolish slavery, McWhorter said. Illinois has a very special place in history. Although dates aren't planned, there have been discussions about a day of lobbying to encourage the passing of legislation to create and fund the commission. Without showing we want this to happen, it won't happen, Wilson said. And Kiwanis and Crittenden Center seek child care items. This story is datelined Eureka. The Kiwanis Club is helping Crittenden Centers collect items in Woodford County for its crisis nursery in Peoria and to help their efforts to protect and nurture children and families. The community care drive, formerly called Fill the Crib, will run through April 21st in honor of Child Abuse Prevention Month. Items can be dropped off at Dollar General in Eureka and Goodfield State Bank in Eureka, Metamora, and Washington. The items needed most are formula, size 4 to 6 diapers, baby wipes, pull-ups, bottles, bottle cleaning brushes, pacifiers, 18-month to 6T clothing, 2T to 6T socks and underwear, hairbrushes and combs, baby wash and lotion, diaper rash cream, sippy cups, stage 3 baby food, toddler meals and snacks, infant and toddler toys, educational board games for ages 2 through 6, Clorox wipes, and Walmart gift cards. All items must be new. To donate money, text 50155 or mail to Crittenden Centers, 442 West John Gwynn Jr. Avenue in Peoria, Illinois. If you have further questions, you can call Nancy at 309-261-5910. Crittenden Centers work to prevent child abuse and neglect while strengthening the family unit by providing crisis intervention and supportive parenting education services. They have a crisis nursery, a child development center, and family services. The crisis nursery provides no-cost child care and basic need items 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, to families in crisis in the Tri-County area. Their goal is to prevent a parental crisis from turning into child abuse and neglect. Last year, Crittenden Centers had 3,767 crisis nursery admissions, provided basic needs items to 3,247 children, and completed 557 home visits. And here are some local briefs. Bloomington woman leading zero waste class. A Bloomington woman will lead a class this month in Mahomet to teach strategies on saving money while also saving the planet. Instructor Linda Stroh's Zero Waste class is set for 6 to 8 p.m. Tuesday, April 22nd at the Mahomet Public Library in Mahomet. During the class, she will cover the 5 R's: refuse, reduce, reuse, recycle, and rot, and how to put them to use to detox your home and reduce clutter. The class also aims to help attendees lessen unnecessary consumption, improve health, and preserve the earth for the next generation, the announcement said. The class is free to attend, but registration is encouraged by calling the library at 217-586-2611. And this has been Beatrice Pavia with part one of the Pantograph of Friday, April 4th, 2025. I look forward to reading part two with you soon.